It's Steel Above the Buns, Mind, Body, and Spirit with Tammy Lee Webb. Hello and welcome to episode number 4 of It's Steel Above the Buns. It stars, of course, Tammy Lee Webb, who everybody knows from Buns of Steel, from some time ago, it's been reissued, and also best-selling author Tammy Lee Webb. So it's a lady of many talents and skills, and with us today, a very special person, Cookie Lupuccini, who has a very interesting story to tell. And I think we've set this up with a framework based on what you like to do at the beginning of every program, Tammy Lee, and that's to have a Q&A.
Yeah, because that kind of sets up the content of the story, and Cookie has an amazing story, and and as well as myself, which I've mentioned on previous shows that I wasn't ready to reveal, but I am today.
Okay, well, this is a big
Cookie
step then.
Because it relates to a little bit of her story as well. So first of all, welcome, Cookie. We're so excited that you're here and joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
Yes, well, we have a lot to talk about, and so we'll get this busy. But our topic today is really about cancer awareness, which it is Cancer Month awareness. And there's so many different cancers, and especially for women, right? So what we want to talk about is mainly your story, which was with the BRCA, right, Jean?
Yes.
Can you just give us a brief definition of what BRCA is?
First of all, it's a bunch of random letters, isn't it?
It's more than anyone needs to know.
Oh, yeah.
But BRCA is abbreviated, and there are two types of BRCA. There's a BRCA1 and a BRCA2. And pretty much they do the same thing, but one is more active in one area of the body than the other, and vice versa.
So most of it is one, right? Is that correct?
No. BRCA1 affects the breasts primarily, and then will move through the body, where the BRCA2 originates in the ovaries.
Okay.
And goes from there.
And these are inherited problems?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're both inherited, and I inherited BRCA2.
Okay.
Okay, so let's see how our listeners do with some of these questions. You want to read them
off,
Mike?
I will. When should I have a BRCA gene test? A, only if your friends tell you to. B, only if you have family history of breast and ovarian cancer. Or C, only after the age of 50.
Why do they bring up that age 50 thing? It's like after 50,
it's
you're
right
doomed.
Up there with colonoscopies,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's time exactly. for colonoscopy.
Yeah, 50, and then again in 5 more years, you get another
it's
one.
It's like all these markers.
So I have a complete blank. I have no idea.
Well, I'm going to rule out A, because I'm not going to have it has nothing to do with my friend. And B, considering that, yeah, it's time for colonoscopy, but I really believe it's B, with family history of breast or ovarian. So, Cookie.
Ding, ding, ding. You're correct.
Yeah. That obviously, if you have any, that's why they ask you all those questions about your
absolutely
your family and what they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
question number two. BRCA can be tested by A, breast and pelvic exam, B, a blood test, or C, an x-ray of your breast?
Well, I, just because of some things that I've gone through, I mean, it. First of all, real important to check your breasts, right, ladies?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm not sure about the pelvic, where you can test that, but I would think it's blood test or, you know, an examination.
Okay. To check for BRCA 1 or 2, is strictly a blood test.
Just a blood test, right?
Yes, and it's a blood test. We keep thinking it's just for women. And you mentioned checking your breasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men should do it too, because men...
Yeah, we don't think about that.
No.
Mike, do you check your breasts?
No.
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 See?
Crickets.
But BRCA 1 and 2 attacks men.
Both men and women.
Are
and
you
I
kidding?
And I can back that up. Because my grandfather was the carrier in my family.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. So how did you find that out?
Well, my mother was one of 11. She was the first to be sick. It was 1958, and she eventually died in 64. But she had started out with ovarian cancer, moved to breast cancer, and then, of course, spread through her body, and she passed. But within a year or two of her incident, she has 8 sisters. They were all falling down through the years. Same thing, ovarian, breast. 3 of her brothers, one from pancreatic and the other from prostate. And that is also connected to the BRCA2. I know a lot more about BRCA2 than BRCA1, but they're so similar. If you were speaking to someone else and they talked about their BRCA1, they're going to parallel a lot.
You know,
they're very much. And
so they finally just do a test to see, obviously, if all the siblings were having some form of cancer?
There was no test. So in the mid-70s, there was a professor, doctor, female at UC Berkeley, who after gene splicing came around and DNA, she found the mutation in a cell structure of breast cancer. And that's how this blood test came to be. At that point, my family, who had lost now 8 people out of, well, just the siblings in my mother's family, there were 11, 8 are gone at this point.
Oh.
The NIH, the National Institute of Health, approached all of us. They researched, you know, siblings, cousins, you know, both sides of my mother, only my mother's family, and then everything from there. And there were, I think, 34 children.
Oh, wow. Gosh. My gosh.
They're busy, Italians.
Oh.
Question number 3. This is a simple one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Do I have cancer if I'm positive for BRCA? Yes, A. No, B. C, maybe.
That's a good question, because I would think if I've got it, then I must have cancer. That's not true, is it?
That's not true.
Yeah.
I was positive for BRCA2,
and
I did everything from hysterectomy to double mastectomy to reconstruction. And they really went looking around. They did not find one cancer cell, which was pretty shocking to the doctors who were working on me. But I've been blessed, and I don't take that for granted, because I have many family members who had BRCA2 and did nothing about it and waited for the cancer.
So if you don't do something about it, it then turns...
You have a, I think it's like
80%.
87, 89% that you would get, that it would attack your body.
The likelihood was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh? Okay.
Wow.
Goodness gracious. Okay.
Okay.
So that is... No.
That's pretty heavy-duty stuff, Aaron.
Well, that's good.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, final question. Having BRCA means I should A, have my breast removed, B, have my ovaries removed, C, have more tests more often, or D, all of the above?
I'm going to go with all of the above.
Yeah, I had to hit the shotgun on this one,
yeah,
too.
I'm going to do everything I can.
Exactly.
So...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, it is an opportunity. It's scary, and it can, but I also feel like it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to take charge of, it's like looking into your future.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a fact. You can either do this or not do this. You can have your breasts removed, or hopefully keep, you know, you won't get breast cancer. Or have your ovaries removed? Not. It's
so
all the
then
same.
That would mean more tests more often. I mean, what is the percentage of people that find out that they have it, but then they don't remove their breasts or their ovaries?
Well, in my experience, and I can only speak for my family members, all my family members that are BRCA2 either have died or had cancer or died from cancer. And once they found out they had cancer, then they were very proactive as far as removing their breasts or their ovaries or their prostate or.
So there was no. There is no option for you other than when you found out that you had it, that that's it. I'm going to have a double mastectomy.
Oh, and I had an option. I had an option to just ignore it and just go, well, I'll just, I feel great. I'm not sick. But it wasn't even a consideration.
See, I think that when you just said, I'm not sick, because you're like, wait a minute, I'm not sick. How would... So let's back up. Let's rewind. How did you come upon, wow, I should be getting tested from this? Is it from your siblings all passing? Was it, how did that come about? And when was this?
Okay. I have one child, female. She was planning to, I did not get the test with the rest of my cousins or relatives. I just didn't, and I'll tell you why. Because my daughter was planning on getting married at some point and having children, and she knew our family history, and it concerned her. So she, on her own, went and had the blood test, and she came up negative.
Can I ask how old she is?
Today she's 36. She did that when she was about 26.
Wow. That's...
And she has two children.
That's awesome. So she took the initiative immediately.
It was, yes. And so when she calls me and says, Mom, I'm negative. And I just went, well, I must be too.
Yeah.
And I just got on with life and got my annual and did all the right things and lived well. And I decided to switch doctors 2.5 years ago. Lovely woman at Scripps La Jolla who looks at my chart. We've never met before. And she says, you've been tested for BRCA2, have you not? And I said, no. My daughter tested negative. She stopped me right there. She took out a pad and wrote, scribbled and said, go to the lab. So I'm like, oh, sure, let's do this. And 3 weeks later, she called me and to give me my results. And she says, are you somewhere where you can talk? Well,
you don't want to hear that.
Well, yeah. It's almost like, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
the classic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was positive. And I swear it just went, okay, I'm positive. And I said, I'll come in to see you. When can we get started? Because she was the one who did the hysterectomy. And then she moved me on to a breast surgeon.
Okay, wait. So when you... When did you have to have the hysterectomy before you even knew that you had BRCA?
Oh, no. I had a hysterectomy because I had BRCA.
Okay. So then you found out this information and you said, let's do the hysterectomy?
She said, we have to start with the hysterectomy because it originates in the ovaries.
Ah.
In most women and fallopian tubes.
Okay.
And I know that because of family. And so... As soon as that was taken care of, she moved me right on. She was my angel. Somebody put her in my life for a reason. She could have said, well, you can carry on or not. But she didn't even give me that option. She just said, I want to introduce you to my dear friend, Mary Wilde, who's also the director.
Oh, yes. Oh. I know Mary Wilde, too.
Okay. And she did my double mastectomy.
Yep.
And... There's a Dr. Apostolides who I highly recommend to any woman for reconstruction. He is a perfectionist. So that's how I came to get motivated. It was one step after the other. But the biggest motivation was my family, my daughter, my grandchildren.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to miss a beat if I could help it.
Yeah, so it was just, you just went into, all right, let's do this and let's take care of it and so I can live my life healthy and happy,
and
right?
And it stops with me because my daughter can't give it to her girls because it stopped with me.
That's great.
You know, and that's, for me, I am one lucky girl. I just feel like and part of that, what I do with that, is I want to share it. I want to tell this to anyone who, you know, is ever faced with a decision that is, you know, life-altering or could be. Look around you. See what's important. I mean,
well, it puts things in perspective.
It sure does.
Yeah. So, so on a side note of this, my story is I am 6 weeks out from a total hysterectomy, and I had
endometriosis.
Well, uterus cancer. Mm-hmm. And how I came about of that is, you know, I'm a menopausal woman, so I should not be, you know, bleeding. And that started happening in June. And I knew immediately to call my doctor's office. And, well, by the time I actually got in there, it wasn't until August. And she said, well, it's either polyps or it's cancer. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go with polyps. And then a week later, I got the news that it was cancer. And you're just kind of in shock. You're like, oh, you don't like to hear that word. I don't even like saying that word. In fact, I turned it immediately into a I can certainly beat this. So I just went into a mode of, okay, what do we do? Let's get this, you know, boom, 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 boom. And got right into my savior was Dr. Dugan, who is a rock star when it comes to an oncologist and dealing with this type of things. And she basically says, look, I want to take it all out. And considering that I'm in the business of, you know, bodies and health and fitness, it was one of those things where my philosophy is fitness begins from the inside out. If you could unzip your body and take a look on the inside, what does that look like? Nobody goes around and goes, wow, Mike, nice lungs. Look at them. They're so clear. Look at that liver. No fatty liver
okay,
there.
Okay, girls, you're making me uncomfortable now.
But we don't see that. So we really have to listen and be in tune. And that's what I think in my business has given me the ability to really be in tune with my body, because there's so many times that we keep pushing it under the rug. Oh, no, I'm fine. Oh, no, I'm fine. That's just da-da-da-da. And we just ignore it until it you can't ignore it anymore, and it gets your full attention.
Oh, it implodes. I mean, it's in your face. It's
yeah.
So why did you resist telling the story for 6 and a half?
I guess because I wanted to keep it private for a while. I mean, I didn't even tell all my friends. And I'm not saying this that I'm so popular. I have a lot of close girlfriends and my family. And I didn't even tell. I told my mother, but I said, do not tell my family. I told her. Because what I didn't want is when someone hears that C word, they always think the worst. And to me, I know that if you catch anything of this early on, you're golden. You can beat this. It's not a death sentence. Yes, we're all going to pass someday. We're going to make that crossover. But it doesn't have to be certain things. Like you said, your family, your siblings ignored it. Where you didn't. You took initiative. I'm going to, you know, I want to be around for my daughter and for my grandchildren and maybe fall in love again and have a healthy, happy life, correct?
Exactly.
And so I was taking care of a cousin of mine that had just had a bone marrow transplant. So I'm looking at her and thinking what I have, and I'm thinking, what I have is nothing compared to what this girl's going through.
Yeah.
And my time with her was, I had found out when we were out on a walk, and my doctor said the same thing, can you talk? And I'm like, well, a little. And so, you know, I couldn't really have the conversation because I didn't want her to know about it, because this wasn't about me. I want her to get healthy. So I just kind of went into that. Okay, so when do I meet with the oncologist? When can we have the surgery and what to expect? Blah, 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 blah. So yeah, 6 weeks ago tomorrow, I had a full hysterectomy, and I had the robot, the Da Vinci robot, which really makes it, you know, so much easier for women. I don't know if you had that. Did you?
I have.
Did you have the robot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which means you have a few incisions across your belly. They don't open it up all the way. And
it's so minimal. I mean, I can't even see those scars anymore.
Oh, that's good to know, because I can still see mine.
Now, on the mastectomy, that's a little different. But
yeah.
But after reconstruction, I'm okay. I like what I'm seeing. Yeah. Even though I have a few battle scars,
it's an invasion on your body. You're thinking, and especially with, here I am thinking, wait a minute, I teach people how to, mm-hmm. to be fit and healthy and mm-hmm. have energy, and here
I
was.
This isn't supposed to happen
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, this is not supposed to happen. So, actually, I felt, you know, the surgery was easy. Mm-hmm. It's been the recovery that has been a challenge. Mm-hmm. And when I Google or talk to other women that have gone through this, everybody has a different story. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own story. It's not the same for every woman. I mean, you might have some similarities.
It's like a fingerprint. No one has this. No two people
have the
same
way of looking at it.
Fingerprint.
Let me ask you both this. The physicians that treat men and women with the C thing, are they really matter of fact about their care towards you, or are they hand holders, and do they go out of their way to try to make you feel better, or do they just basically give you the facts?
I think all the above. And I'm sure it's different with these physicians.
Question number six, then.
So my doctor, Dr. Dugan, I've known her from the past, and she's done other of my girlfriends, and they just rave about her. And she is, too. Here's the facts. I'm not going to dance around it, and I don't want you to dance around it. I want the facts. Because I do better if you tell me what to expect. And they give you this whole sheet of what to expect after surgery, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not the whole story.
it's what I realize.
And I understand why now, because you would go, well, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to go through this. But you have no choice.
Well, exactly. I mean, they are there to save lives.
Yes.
And they're, like I said again, it's a choice and an opportunity to hand yourself over to someone who wants to keep you alive.
Yes. But the other part of that is it's your responsibility from there on, too, mm-hmm. is what is your attitude? And I think you have a great attitude of how you've... Yes,
healing.
And how you're going to heal. And that's how I look at it, too. I'm responsible now, and I can look at it this way, or I can look at it that way. And it is... My recovery has... I didn't expect it to be this. So for me, it wasn't until week three that all of a sudden I was just down. I was down in bed for a week. I was either at the toilet or in my bed.
And swollen.
And swollen and bruised. And then I had this, one night I had this chill so bad. And I thought, you know, do I have the flu? Do I have a fever? And I was shaking. And I realized I didn't know this. And most women don't know this. I've asked so many of my girlfriends, do you know what a cold flash is?
I'm not sure.
Opposite of a hot flash.
So you're cold and sweating?
OMG, I'm telling you. I'm like, how come nobody tells us this?
Oh, so you're
we
sweating,
talk about
but you're
hot
cold.
Flashes. So yes, you're sweating. Mm. Your body's hot, but you're shivering like you have a fever and you can't get warm. So I had jumped in the shower and turned it all the way up and realized I was burning my skin.
I've never heard of this before.
Right. And most people don't. And so then it just knocks you down. So I've had two. And then I just find myself sleeping for about 4 hours. In fact, the second one happened, I'm in Arizona, where it was 100 degrees out.
Yeah.
And I was out doing some errands, and it's hot outside, and you go in the stores, and it's freezing. Hot, cold, all of a sudden, it hits me, and I'm like, I got to just get back home. I got to get back to my boyfriend's house. And I'm sitting in the driveway, it's 100 degrees outside, and I have the heat on. All the way blasting, and I'm shivering in my car. That is a hot flash.
A cold flash.
I mean, a cold flash. So what my appreciation,
way,
my appreciation is I'd rather have a hot flash. So when they come on,
absolutely.
I'm okay with it.
And, you know, like you said, you just had, you know, a hysterectomy. Your hormones are.
Where?
Who knows? Yeah. They left town. Right?
I always say your hormones are the CEO of your body.
Mine and when they check out.
They've been checked out, and my body is all over the place right now.
Mm-hmm. They took away all my HRTs, too, when I was found out.
So did you go through any of this? Did you go through, obviously, you haven't been through a hot flash.
Well,
I mean, a cold flash.
No, but I did go through... regular menopause, like before I had things removed, because I am 64 and I started early, like around 43. And what it that brought with it at that age were more emotional, a physical discomfort like sweating. It was just everything was gloom and doom. So there was a depression coming in,
anger
with moving, like perimenopausal moving forward.
Now this is prior to the hysterectomy. Yeah. Okay, so what was it after the hysterectomy?
Well, it the only thing because they took I went on HRTs and I was on them for
what are those
hormone replacement therapy.
Okay. Therapy. Yeah.
Sounds like you both are well schooled in this.
We can say
I
that
was
at
on
the
Biodenics
same
too for quite a few years.
Yeah, the patch and
okay.
Greens. So they took that all away. So the only residual that came from my hysterectomy, because probably my age, was hot flashes. Like right now, sitting with you two, I could jump in the pool.
we are by a pool. For those of you who are listening around the world, it's still quite warm in Southern California.
San Diego, out by the pool. Yes. We have a hard job. Okay, so you just have hot flashes.
Pretty much. And weight gain.
And still?
Weight gain. Hot flashes?
So you're still having them? Mm-hmm. And it's been how many years?
Well, no, I didn't have them because they put me on HRTs. And when
right,
on
but I'm talking about after the hysterectomy.
Well, it's been about 2 years that I've been sweating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to hear that. Because I did ask my doctor, I'm like, how soon? Because sometimes this
everyone's
different.
I mean,
they said some get through it within 2 to 3 months and some take longer.
They say ask your mother, well, I can't do that.
Right. Well, and it's different because my mom didn't have a hysterectomy. And when you have a hysterectomy, now everything has been taken out, and you can't have any hormone
Nothing's
replacement.
Stored anymore.
Does it? Okay, this is gross, but does it like feel weird inside of your body, like something has been removed?
Mm-mm. No. Well, right after, because everything is trying to adjust again and get back in place, and you have a lot of fluids and swelling, and your body's been attacked.
Right.
It does look
at
it that
it
way.
Yeah, seems pretty invasive, all right.
Yes. Yeah, so, but I think, especially when you get to your point, Cookie, that probably not. I mean, I feel normal.
I'm as normal as I
can right now.
I feel actually better because, you know why? Because it doesn't concern me anymore. I don't have to worry about ovarian cancer. I don't have to worry about uterine cancer, fallopian tube cancer. To me, I feel great.
That's awesome.
That's like off the shelf.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about that in the future. Well, when I talked to some of my other friends, they talked about that, like they just felt like they couldn't get their strength back. And I've had some issues with my colon. I've had some issues. I had a bladder infection, and then they just found out last Friday, which was when we were going to do this. My doctor, same thing, writes me a prescription. You're going to the ER right now. I'm like, what?
What?
So they wanted to rule out that I didn't have a blood clot in my lungs, and because I've had some shortness of breath and. You know, try it. And as it turns out, I have fluid.
Well, that's a flimsy excuse for not recording the show.
I know,
come
wasn't
on.
It?
Fluid
Rub
in
some
your lungs.
Dirt
now,
on
what
it.
Was bringing that on?
It was from the surgery.
Wow.
So I have to watch it, and they want me to do a chest x-ray again, and because it can turn into an infection or
very much.
So you're not out of the woods.
You're still in recovery.
I am still in recovery.
You need to say, I'm in recovery. And it takes time.
It does. And that's what I'm not very good at that I'm learning, is that I need to be kinder to myself, take this time, and let my body heal. Mm-hmm. Even though, like you said, I don't feel sick. Like, I wasn't sick going into this. I come out of it. Now I have all
I'm
these little
worse.
Issues that knock me down. I get back up and knock me down. And then I thought, you know what? I think I'm supposed to take it easy. Just be kind to myself right now. So the last topic that I want to bring up, Cookie, is about diet. And I've spoken to a lot of my friends about this. And one has changed her diet to a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of these people where I think that you, like you said, the fingerprint, not every diet and when I say diet, it's a way of eating, not a, it's a diet, lifestyle. A lifestyle, yeah. is that is for everybody. So for me, when I don't have my boyfriend around, I like eating plant-based. When he's around, he likes having his, you know, steak. Fish and steak and chicken and all that. And I'll
enjoy. That's fine.
Right. But so one of my friends, she's gone to a plant-based and she's lost like 10 pounds. She feels better. And I think, well, I think that's, it's working for her.
But it's working for her.
But she also had certain radiation and is on medication, which I don't have to have any radiation, thank you. I'm not on any medication. So do you have any thoughts about what, have you found anything with your diet or supplements?
I honestly think because of my lifestyle through starting in the early 80s until now, I've always had a very clean diet. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. Give me a bag of Cheetos. I'm all... No, but what I'm saying is I really think how I took care of my body, not to suffer from it. I enjoyed everything I was eating. I did plant-based, but I also was very much into fish. And maybe beef... Mm-hmm. Once or twice a month, maybe.
So that's what you're doing now?
I still do it. Uh-huh. And I eat a lot of grains, uh-huh. brown rice, roasted vegetables. You don't have to add anything to this. And if you can throw a piece of salmon on top of that, and it's gourmet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think that's helped me with my results. I should have had cancer in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm wrong, but I've always been really health conscious as far as, you know, supplements or if I'm lacking in some area or, let's just say it, bowel movements, you know, mm-hmm. Everything. You have to listen to your body.
I was just going to say that, is listening to your
yes.
body.
And
you've got to be in tune with your body.
Funny,
and that's why.
I don't know if it happens to a lot of women when they go through menopause, but my wife, Jen Bell, she's famously saying now she doesn't eat land meat because she does eat
fish.
Oh,
she wants wild.
Yeah. You know,
so she doesn't eat beef, she doesn't eat chicken, none of that, but she will have shrimp and salmon.
They're called something. It starts with a P.
I don't know.
Yep. Like a vegetarian,
yeah,
but a
vegetarian or something, okay. Yeah.
That's what she is.
Yeah. So, again, when it comes to nutrition, I still, you've got to do your own homework and research. And just same with your health. You've got to be an advocate for your own health. Listen to your body. In fact, my closing to usually the show is listen to your body and your body will take care of you. So one of the things that we like to do here is we call delete and rephrase. Because a lot of times I hear people will say something. They say it in the most negative way. So I'm relating it to today's topic. Like, and this happens. Like when someone hears the C word, it's, oh my God, I have cancer. Will I die? Well, let's rephrase that. And I said it a little bit earlier in the show is I never referred it to cancer. I called it the I can. I can certainly beat this and live a healthy life. And by changing your words and your thoughts and your feelings, you can certainly do that. But that's my story and that's Cookie's story. And we hope that it is connected with some of our listeners.
You guys are very
help.
Inspirational. I mean, I'm not chirping a lot here to both of you because you have unique stories, but I'm fascinated by both of you, the courageousness that you both have. I think you should both be very proud and also forgiving of your bodies.
Oh, yes. Forgiving. That's a good one, Mike, because mm-hmm. I've had to learn to be forgiving of my body because mm-hmm. my body, I don't have abs of steel right now.
Mm-hmm. You think I do?
I mean, they're there.
I don't either, but there's other reasons for that.
But the one thing that I think is important, Mike, and you probably haven't done this, and is to get tested. Men, get tested. Mm-hmm. If you feel that it's something that has been in your family or maybe even not, it's just a simple blood test.
Mm-hmm. My brothers have all have been tested. They went into the program with us.
So I'm 66 years old. Is there any point in getting a test?
Oh, my gosh. You
That's
could
so
live
young.
30 more
Please.
Years.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. So I'm not buying that.
Okay. If you're listening, men and women, and you feel that you have any questions about it, please go and get tested. It's just a blood test. And if you feel that anything is not right within your body, don't be afraid. Get in there, get tested, and take responsibility for your own health, because you can live a healthy life. So as I say at the end, I first want to thank you, Cookie, so much for being with us. And Mike, of course.
I truly enjoyed your company. It's refreshing to be able to share common ground.
Yeah, everybody has a story. So let's share and come together. So again, take care of your body, and it will take care of you. And thanks for listening, all.
This has been episode number 4 of It's Steel About the Buns with Tammy Lee Webb and Cookie Lupacini.